Welcome to the Stop Faking Fine podcast, a show that will empower you to finally show up for yourself while your circumstances may not be 100% your fault. Your life is 100% your responsibility. It's time to stop faking fine.
Welcome back to the Stop Faking Fine podcast. I am your host, Dana Lewis. In today's episode, our favorite youth sports coach is back. I have had the pleasure of watching Coach Mike Antarase mentor young athletes so they are best equipped to attain their sports goals. Today, we are going to unpack anxiety, all of those anxious feelings that our youth athletes get, and we're going to talk through what they can do off the field so that they can be best equipped to crush their goals on the field. Coach Mike is a former professional football player, master trainer, sports performance coach, and the founder of Resilience Fitness and Sports Performance Training. If you have a young athlete, this episode is for you.
Oh my goodness, Coach Mike is back today. Hi, Coach Mike.
Hey, Dana, how are you?
I am amazing. You guys, we are here to talk about addressing anxiety in sports and learning from Coach Mike's expertise in this area. Coach Mike, let's dive in to just talking about anxiety, because in all athletes, those anxious feelings are there.
Yep.
The butterflies in your stomach, and sometimes they can be good, and sometimes they can just take you down. Let's talk through that.
That's so true, Dana. And I remember being at STAB doing like a talk, and we had different breakout rooms after we had like our big assembly. And in that breakout room, one of the first things I said is, wait, who gets nervous? Or like, who gets those butterflies before a game? And, you know, we're dealing with high school kids. So they're like looking around. They don't know if they want to put their hand up. And I said, let me just tell you this, like everyone does. Every athlete that cares about what they're doing. And I said, you don't even have to be an athlete. Anyone who is on the big stage of what they do. So it could be a musician going into a concert. It could be an actor going into a play. It could be an athlete going into a game. If you have spent time, energy on something, and you're going into the performance, right? The competition, the big stage of that thing, you're going to get those feelings. And, yeah. And the, one of the things that we should know is that is absolutely fine. And I feel like that's not something that's talked about a lot.
Yeah, it's actually like, good to get that little butterflies in your stomach. It's a rush of adrenaline. It raises your cortisol for a second, and it's actually really good for your circadian rhythm.
I feel like since that's not talked about a lot, especially with adult and authority figures in sports, sometimes what that does is it makes the athlete think that something is wrong when that happens, when everything is right. Like you just said, like that is a natural thing. So to hear or to see someone who, oh, Coach Mike looks like he says, you know, he played sports. Like he's saying that it's okay for me to get these feelings. Like, oh, all right. Even that understanding right there is settling, right? You can know that, hey, it's okay to feel this way. So you don't go into this, like, and I call it a negative cycle. But this feeling automatically puts some athletes who are maybe a little bit more anxious or who are dealing with other factors that make them more anxious, that feeling that's supposed to help them and give them that, you know, that boost of cortisol, that boost of adrenaline, that actually puts them on a negative cycle. And it puts them on that right before competition.
Yeah.
Which is something that we don't want. There's this phenomena that we see. And I'm sure some parents can connect with this. Maybe some coaches can connect with this. Even some athletes who are self-conscious can connect with this. In practice, they're their fastest. They're their best. They're loose. They can do things that, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm good. I could do these things. And as soon as that game comes around, they can't. They're tight. They're slower. They're closed. You know, they close up. And it's like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Well, It's that feeling. I call it, there's a difference between being nervous and anxious. And I use the word anxious, not in like the anxiety term, like when we're talking about mental health, but in the like, oh, I feel butterflies and like, you know, my heart rate's going up a little bit and I feel a little like that type of anxiety is a good one that we need to learn to harness. And it's not going to be learned just by accident.
Right. I think that's really important to mention.
Yeah. It's going to have to come from direct and consistent instruction. Direct, consistent instruction. And it's going to come from people who these athletes trust, people who these athletes know have their best interests at heart. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. Like, I have my notes right here. And I know we don't have a lot of time. We could talk about this literally for the next like hour and a half, 2 hours. So I'm going to try to like condense everything. But there is this phenomena that like, I've been doing my research. I even asked my wife, my wife is a psychologist. I asked my wife, like, is this like a thing? Like, do people talk about this? It's like, and the closest thing that's in books right now that I can get to is when you catastrophize something, right? Mm-hmm. When you make something like bigger than it is. But how do we like take that concept that is like an everyday common concept and take it to sports? And what I do is I call it in my program the Goliath syndrome. Yeah. And that is something that I see a lot of youth athletes develop over the years. And that right there destroys a lot of careers right there, destroys a lot of performances. It kind of closes athletes up where, you see an athlete or you see an opponent that you know is good, but you blow them up to be this huge, unbeatable, inconceivable, like you can't even think about going up against them type of problem or type of feat. And right then and there, before the competition starts, you already defeat yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You start looking up their highlight videos. You start looking at their times. You start asking people, about them, like, well, how was it when you played them? Like, was it this? Was it that? And you get into this, I call it meditation, because you are thinking about this thing and you're thinking about it consistently, which is meditation, but it's like on the opposite side. It's on the negative side, right? Instead of the positive side, you get into this thought process it makes them bigger than life and makes them superhuman.
Yeah.
And before you get into competition, you're already defeated.
Right. Rather than you were saying, you go into your practice session and you're all over it. You're yes. nailing it. Because yes. you're not nervous about who you are competing against.
Yes. Yes. So that's one thing that I help my athletes with. And it's something that athletes learn early on. And it's not helped by the environment. Why? Because usually the best kids are the most talked about. And usually the best kids are the one that coach, the best kid on the other team is the one that coach is like, you don't want this person to score 50 goals. And we got to do this to this. And, that might be the game plan to, like, stop one player, but it's not help. Kids learn to develop that who's the best player mentality on the other team and who's the best player on my team. And it's something that is, like, practiced from a young age without any instruction on how to. So it's something that it's really, like, hurting a lot of my athletes right now that I work with. So when it comes to that, there are particular practices that we do. And I don't want to go into all of that yet, but I want to talk about preparedness. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that I can say across the board helps my athletes deal with depression, especially anxiety in sports. And when I say preparedness, I mean that we are prepared in three different phases. We're prepared in our skill, we're prepared in our body, and we're prepared in our mind. Prepared in our skill is something that Coach Mike has the least amount of input in. All I can do is say, when you practice and when you go to practice, I need you to listen to your coach. I need you to ask questions if you don't understand. And I need you to go hard. Those are all things that you have complete control over. You don't have complete control over like how well you do, but you have complete control over listening to your coach. You have complete control over if you don't understand something, ask. And you have complete control over the effort that you give. right? If you do those three things in practice, I guarantee you, you will get better. You will get better with a good coach and a good team that's supporting you. So that's prepared and skill. And like I said, I have the least amount of input into that because even though I'm a sports performance coach, I'm not teaching your son how to dribble the ball.
Right.
And I'm not teaching the swimmer how to do that backstroke or that breaststroke. I'm not teaching that basketball player how to do a crossover. Like that's not where I stay, but you know, they have skilled coaches and they have practice and they have coaches that do that with them. All I can do is encourage them in that. So that's the one I have the least amount in, but like I try to help them out by like pushing them towards that and giving them the encouragement there. Now, prepared and body, that's where I've lived for like a long time before I started even doing anything with the mind. I am trying to make sure that your athlete is the best athlete they can be in their sport. Mm-hmm. So I'm making sure that they're fast. I'm trying to make sure that they're quick. I'm trying to make sure that they're resilient to injury. That's why we do a lot of injury prevention stuff and soft tissue stuff. I'm trying to make sure that they are strong and that they're powerful and that they're flexible. And so those qualities, hopefully when they take it to the pool, or when they take it to the court, or when they take it to the field, they can out strength, out hustle, and last, right? Endure more than the other athletes on the field.
Yeah. And if you unpack that, you're talking about nutrition and athleticism. You're talking about the workout and the nutrition, because those two things come together to get your body.
So what's funny, Dana, is, you know, most traditional coaches, they live on one half of that.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where I lived for a long time. Like, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to do, you know, hit the weight room. We're going to hit the field and we're going to run and we're going to do this. But then once you realize that, wait a second, I only have these kids maybe twice a week and that's for an hour. Like I can have the best workouts for those 2 hours out of the week, but we're talking about a 140 something hour week. Like how much am I affecting their body to change outside of those 2 hours that I'm with them during the week? I need to let them know or teach them what to do outside of our workouts. And I need to teach them how to maximize that. How do we maximize that? Oh, we maximize that with sleep. Mm-hmm. Oh, we maximize that with nutrition. Oh, we maximize that with knowledge. Because if they work out hard with me those 2 days, but do behaviors and habits outside of those days and hours.
Well, let's unpack that for a minute. Like what are some behaviors that are red flags? What are the red flag behaviors?
Red flag behavior right off the bat. And I hate to be, you know, that old man that's saying this generation, but it just it happens to be the truth that this generation, I've never seen tighter hamstrings across the board in this generation. And why? Because we do a lot more sitting in this generation than ever. When I was younger, my mom would literally take the power cord off of my Nintendo 64 if she believed that I was sitting down and playing it too much. And you know, that was even later on, maybe like later middle school and high school. But when we were younger, it was, let me get my chores done early on Saturday, because I know if I ask my mom if I want to go and hang out with my friends and play, that she's going to say, you got to do your chores. So I would wake up early, do my chores, and I'm getting on my bike. And, you know, we didn't have cell phones. So you're riding
gone
up and down the street looking for the other bikes. And it's like, oh, the other bikes are in that lawn. And you go and we're playing manhunt. We're playing roller hockey. So nowadays, the kids they're not like being antisocial, but I can play with Johnny and Rick and Steven from right here in my room.
Yeah,
I can sit down.
That is so true. They sit in chairs with the headsets, and so they have tight hamstrings. What's another red flag?
So another red flag is nutrition, right? Because everything is so like fast, 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 and convenient now. Convenience is king. So a lot of the time, when these parents are a little more busier, right? It used to be, you know, years and years and years ago, that you always had someone around, mom around, she cooked the, you know, now mom's working, mom is out. So it's like, all right, what am I going to do? You know, and some of the more responsible kids are like, they learn how to cook. Maybe, you know, they learn how to pop something in the microwave. A lot of the time it's just like snack food, right? Yeah. And they're snacking. And to be honest, and I've been talking to a lot of different people in school administration, even about nutrition. We have these kids having so much more responsibility and taking so much more control of their everyday lives from earlier on. Mm-hmm. We talked last time about high competitive sports start early on, but yeah. We're not really educating them really well on nutrition and what they should do with their body. Talking to some of these younger kids, they didn't even know, like, this chicken animal is this chicken in, like, the chicken tender that you're eating.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, like, they didn't associate the two. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is that. Did you know that? Or yeah. when you tell them, like, yes, this right here, this diet soda has this much sugar, and you show them, like, the actual visual of the sugar.
Well, do you unpack that for, like, what is the detriment of having that much sugar? Because they might say, yeah, it has 100 grams of sugar, but who cares?
Yeah. So yeah, the first thing I always do is, like, I just, like, show them, right? You just want to, like, show them and get them to, like, see it. And then the second thing you do is, like, all right, this is an example, and I want you to, and you use something they can relate to. So you're like, all right, this is the example. You have this athlete with this much sugar every single day. This is their performance on a performance level. And you show them, and you go with this much, and then you take something else, like balanced diet, protein, water, sleep. This is where their performance level goes. And you show them the difference. I always love leading my younger people to an answer rather than telling them, because they get told what to do all the time, right? But if I lead them and say, all right, this is what will happen with your physical performance. Let's say I'm talking to a swimmer. You train hard, and this is how hard you train. So you think that your results should go like this and should follow on that line.
Yeah, follow on the same trajectory.
But what you're forgetting is there's another line, and that other line is recovery and nutrition. And if you don't have that, your line will go like this, it'll go like this, it'll go like this.
Yeah, up and down, up and down, up and down.
And it will never stay consistent, and it will never rise. So, you know, it's up to you to figure that out. Like, which line do you want to have? Do you want to have that line that's ever rising, or do you want to have that line that's just up and down?
And just teaching them the importance of nutrition
Teaching them the importance of nutrition and making it so, turning it from a Coach Mike is making me do this type of, like, mindset to wait, I want to do this because I can feel the difference and I can see the difference. And I love the results that I'm getting from it. So that is the preparedness part. Going back to back to the topic, we talked about the skill. We talked about the body. When you have the mindset that I have put in work and I have a good esteem about myself with the work that I've put in these areas, that settles that negative anxiety before you go into competition. Before, if you go into a test and you know you did not study for that test, you're going to be nervous for it. You know, if you know, like, I put in the work, I went to my teacher's office hours, I did that study group, I nailed all my practice forms, and you go into that test with more of a confidence.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Competition is a test. It's a test of your skill. It's a test of your preparedness. And a lot of kids are going in only with the one realm out of the three. So we talked about body, and now we got to talk about mind, preparedness of the mind. And believe it or not, that also has the nutrition part connected to it too. Because a lot of people think, oh, mind, it just means that you need to hear a rah-rah speech from the coach before a game, and then your mind is good. And it's like, no. That's like saying that to be hydrated for the game, you got to drink a lot of water before the game and then go out. It doesn't work like that. You need to have been hydrated for days prior, weeks prior.
Yeah, that is such a good example. That's such a good example.
Yeah. It's when people realize, like mind, body, it's very similar. It's very connected, more than we think. Just the same way, like, your body's not going to absorb that the hydrogen, the oxygen. It's not going to absorb it right then and there and be ready to compete. If you were going to cramp, you are not going to not cramp because you drank water right before the game.
Right.
That's something that you need to have worked on, right? So if you were drinking Mountain Dew and not drinking your water 3 days before, and if you are not getting your mind right 3 days before, by the time you get to the game, you are not going to be ready.
I mean, let's unpack all of the drinks that are out there. The Gatorades, all of the colorful drinks that you can get.
All of the sports drinks, all of the quote unquote
sports drinks. Yeah. Let's unpack. Do you recommend those drinks?
So get this. I always tell my parents that they need to do a good job of label watching and label reading. It's funny. I put out a post yesterday on social media about protein bars and like, how do you choose the right protein bar? And I got so many people that hit me up, like, you know, and like, you know what? I never knew that about protein bars. And what I said is you could go to any GNC, you can go through any grocery store, like health, and we're doing the quote unquote health aisle, and you'll see these protein bars. But if you really dive deep into the label, you'll see that they're more like candy bars.
Yes.
They are upwards to like 10 grams of sugar in one bar. And when you look at that, you could look at like a Snickers bar and that has 10 or 11 grams. And you're like, huh. And you could look at, you know, some of them have saturated fats in it. And
even the ones that have zero sugar are not zero sugar. The sugar,
because they have the sugar alcohol, the like the sugar replacement, you know,
right.
Sweeteners.
Right.
So you have to be very conscious about these sports drinks. Now, you know, I grew up on Gatorade, right? Grew up on Gatorade. I'm not talking trash on Gatorade, but what you need to realize is the difference between hydration and supplementation, right? Obviously, water is the king when it comes to hydration. And what you will know as an athlete is when you sweat, there's a reason why your sweat is a little salty, right? If you tasted sweat that dripped off your face. When you sweat, you let go of more than just water, right? But Gatorade, once you look at the labels, especially some of the other sports drinks that are out there, they are full with sugar. They're full with coloring. You'll see, like, you literally, if you look up the label, you'll see, like, red. You'll see green. You'll see yellow. Those are food colors.
And also, like, just a side note, red dye 40 adds to anxiety.
Yes.
Like, and there's red dye in the blue dye, and there's red dye in the purple dye. And that directly relates to the anxious feelings that you're fueling those feelings by having that drink.
Yeah. And one of the things you'll also realize is anything that has these natural flavors in them, you know that they're being put in to get something out of you, right? Anything with these natural flavors. So you look at that and you realize that, all right, this tastes good and I want to drink it because they're being pumped with these sugars and these natural flavors. And for an athlete, you have to understand that if I want to hydrate, I have to have water. If I want to stay cramp free, if I want to replenish my system with the salts, the potassium, we call those electrolytes, right? All the, like the salt, the potassium. If I want to put that back into my body, I can use Gatorade as a supplement, right? That's a supplement. But then when you know that that's a supplement and that's not the main thing, as a parent, as an athlete, someone responsible over their body and looking for the best thing that they can do, you want to find other supplements that maybe are a little bit cleaner, that maybe don't have those dyes in it, maybe that don't have those natural flavors thrown into it. And there are plenty other more natural, when you look at the nutrition label, more readable ingredients.
Right. Like you and I are fans of two. There's an energy packet.
Yes.
And literally it's called energy. And edge.
An edge.
And my athletes are on that all of the time. And the benefit that you get from that is not only is it all natural, there's three ingredients that you can pronounce. There's nothing artificial in it whatsoever. It is hydrating.
Yeah.
And it is helping you with your focus, your attention, and your metabolism. So it's benefiting you while it's hydrating you.
And you have, because we're talking about powders, right? And we're talking about something that you put, you have direct control over the water. Mm-hmm. And it's all coming back to the water. You know, like, all right, this is my water. I'm putting my edge in my water. And like, and you know, the water content, you can make it, you know, and some athletes deal with, like when I was younger and I was playing at the University of Delaware, I dealt with cramping a lot. So I had to come up with ways, and we didn't have Edge back then. So I was like, how am I going to get? So I would do literally grape juice with salt in it and drink that and then drink water. And it's like, now we don't have to do that. Now we have these supplements that we can use. And it was always with water, always with water. Once we could teach our athletes that water is king, and then you could supplement that, they will find that they feel so much better. They will find that they have the energy, right? Some people are doing Gatorade and Red Bull right before a game. that is like a real deadly combination. You're going to crash, and you're putting some things in your body that are going to just kind of disagree with your body in a way.
Right. So, where like this Edge that you're talking about, it's a nootropic, and it does three things. It supports your motivation, it supports your mood, and it supports your metabolism.
Yes.
And the caffeine that you're getting from Red Bull is not doing that.
It's not doing that. And if you have anxiety, caffeine doesn't help anxiety. Caffeine.
Oh, that's so good. Caffeine makes it worse.
Yes. So doing anything like that before a game, even is detrimental, and it's just a mask, right? And you don't want to mask anything. That's the problem. It's funny. I just had one of my athlete parents ask me, Coach, what do you think about this like pre-workout? My son has been taking it. The research I do on it says it's pretty good. But and the first thing I asked is like, why is he taking it? Because we're talking about a high school kid. And when you're in high school, you have energy. Like, we don't have energy anymore. But when you're that young, you have energy. And, you know, when it comes down to it, it's like, yeah, he's, I don't feel as energized before a workout, Coach. And I'm like, is it your motivation level? Like, no, I'm ready to go. Well, what is it? Well, all right, well, maybe we come down to the root cause of it. He's not getting enough sleep. So I'm like, you're just trying to mask something. You're trying to mask the problem. And whenever you're trying to mask the problem's always going to come up, right? That's like sweeping something that's big under a rug. Like, the door's not going to open, or you're going to trip over the rug. It's never going to be a long-term solution. If you want to get to the root, we need to get sleep. Right. Now, if you need something to take for a little bit of motivation, take this.
Right.
And you show them Edge, you show them energy, that clean source of focus, of metabolism, of motivation. And now you're getting to the root of the problem, and you're actually supplementing with something that's going to help.
Yeah, you're supplementing with something that's going to help. And I think that's the big thing. And you guys that are listening, we will drop the links in the show notes so that you can go grab them. These are tactical solutions for all of our athletes to fire up your brain and get your body to work holistically.
And your mind, because that is like that third leg. And it's funny because, you know, the first leg is the skill. The second and third, body, mind, they're connected by that nutrition piece, right? If you think of it like a spectrum, I want my listeners to think of it like body on the left, mind on the right. The thing that connects them, that gradient color that connects them in the middle, is nutrition. Right. And as you go a little further to one side, it's more body, 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 body. As you go further to the other side, it's more mind, 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 mind. Now, as we get a little further from the body side and we really start focusing on the mind, obviously, like we just said, nutrition is big, but also mind, mental fitness. Mental fitness is huge. It's something that we're not talking about enough of. It's something that it kind of is a no-brainer, like no pun intended, but it's a no-brainer that I look around and I don't see people acting like it's a no-brainer. What's the one of the like the idioms of soccer or sports that we hear all the time? Sports is 90% mental. And you hear that all the time, right? People are like, oh, the sports is 90% mental. But are we treating it that way?
No.
I see kids, they, you know, they have their skills coach. They have their, you know, AAU coach. They have their, even, you know, like you got your kids with me early and they have their trainer. But who's training their mind?
Yeah.
Who's getting them into the...
That is so good and so important, because when we are talking in this episode about anxiety, and you get to the, you know, you get onto the field and you've totally looked up your opponent, you know who he is, you've got the Goliath syndrome. Like, what are tips that these kids can do? I mean, I'll share what my kids do, but what are your tips for getting out of your head right then and there?
One of the biggest tips is, I call it self-scouting. It's the self-awareness that is huge. I think self-awareness is better than anything when, in terms of competition. And that's across the board. But teaching athletes that early on in their life will settle a lot of this anxiety. Self-awareness, saying to yourself after you've tried, you know, I'm telling them, try and practice, listen to your coach, ask questions, right? You know, I'm telling them, get your body prepared, train hard, nutrition. After you have tried, being self-aware to say, you know what? I'm just not an A student. I tried my hardest in this, and even in my hardest, I'm getting Bs. So then after that, when you really understand that, after you've put in the work, getting a B is not going to give you that anxiety, because you are self-aware. Saying to yourself, you know what? I'm just not that good dribbling with my left hand, right? That self-awareness will do two things. One, it can motivate you to keep working on that left hand. Two, it can say, you know what? Since I'm not that good going this way, I'm going to find other parts of my game that I am really good at. I'm going to double down on those parts, right? Mm-hmm. We have, you know, I'm watching the playoffs, watching Golden State. Draymond Green, he's a great player for his team. And he does things for his team that are amazing. He's literally one of the cornerstones of his team. He's not a great shooter. He's not a great ball handler. He's a hustle player. He will set screens. He will set up the right passes. He will spread. He will make sure the floor is spread out as it's supposed to. And he will make sure he gets the ball to the people who are the shooters. That's his self-awareness at play.
Mm-hmm.
So self-awareness, self-scouting is one of the best things that I try to teach my young athletes. It'll let you appreciate, it'll let you understand what you're not good at and really truly appreciate what you are good at. You'll still have the time to double down. You'll still have the time to work at what you're good at, but I'm all about doubling down on what you're good at. Because you will, in terms of your production, you don't want to get slowed down just worrying about those things that you're not good at. And we do that a lot. We look at our flaws. We look at where we come short and we just put all our focus and energy there. And that keeps us stuck. Even if we're really trying to work really hard on it, what we want to do is we want to have time and energy to put towards doubling down on those good things, because those good things we already do really well. So doubling down on that will increase our production. And then spending a little bit of time on those things that we're not good at. I tell athletes to visualize. That's another practical tip. Not too long ago, one of my athlete parents hit me up. I remember this like it was yesterday. I was on vacation and it was during the summer. And he asked him, he has a daughter who plays soccer. Is it just me, or like, do athletes still like visualize themselves like scoring the last goal or hitting the last? And I'm like, no, that's a thing. Like, we need to do that. We need to teach our athletes how to. He goes, yeah, I said that to my daughter. She's like, I never do that. And I just thought that was weird. I'm like, no, it's not you. That is weird. Like, if you want a high performing athlete, they need to visualize how they want to play.
Yeah, because you have to believe in the power of belief of your mind. You have to see yourself.
Yes.
In that position so that you can believe it to be true, so that you can subconsciously convince yourself that you are worthy of doing it.
And that you've done it before. And if you've done it before, you could do it again because you've done it up here.
Yes.
Right. And just teaching them, see yourself there, see yourself doing that. If you do it hard enough, and you do it well enough, you will kind of put yourself in that position in mind. And those feelings of nervousness, anxiety, maybe that like cortisol, those feelings, you're kind of like almost dosing yourself with that, almost like, you know, almost like a vaccine, right? You're dosing yourself with a little bit. In the same way, I tell my athletes, and I know this might sound weird, visualize yourself on the opposite end of the spectrum as well. Visualize yourself start like talking to one of my quarterbacks. Visualize yourself starting off 3 out of 10 with an interception. How would you bounce back after that? Yeah. How would you feel after you started off missing that goal, right? Or whatever. Doing 80% of the good visualization and like 20% of that bad. Because now you, oh man, I've been here before in my mind. I told myself that if I started off like this, that I all I have to do is like breathe and settle myself, because I know that in the end, I could turn things around and I could still finish strong. Having both of that is so important. So yeah.
the power of your mindset. And I know that for my athletes, like they take our kids' mood on their way to the field to calm their nerves right out of the gate. Like, let's talk about that for a minute, just to lower that cortisol and allow your brain to really turn on and focus on what you need to focus on.
You know what I like to say? I like to say, instead of allow your brain to turn on, I like to say, allow your brain to have almost like those like guiders.
Yeah, you know, laser focus.
Laser focus. Because when you're an athlete, when you're a high performing athlete, what happens is you have this spectrum that's a little bit, hopefully, that's a little bit wider than the normal average person, meaning that the highs and the lows of just normal anxiety, depression, like that, those, you can hopefully withstand a little more on either side. Mm-hmm. But what happens a lot when we're talking about competition, when we're talking about all these other factors, like our hormones going out of, you know, out of control, when our hormones go out of control, it constricts that threshold. So now those things that might not have taken you out of whack, now you're hitting the ends of your spectrum. And it can be so paralyzing to you because you're used to those levels of stress. Mm-hmm. But now it's causing a different effect on your body. And then it's causing a different effect on your mind because of the state that you're in. Mm-hmm. So what these tactics do and what these nutrition, you know, what these supplements do is help you, even though your hormones are working, it helps you keep that threshold where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So those swings don't feel as, you don't feel like you're hitting your head on both sides of the wall.
And you don't you're not standing on the side of the field with stage fright, for lack of a better term, because you can work yourself as an athlete into such an anxious state where you are not performing at your very best level. And so this mood supplement, the kids' mood supplement, will allow your cortisol to just come down so that, like you said, you can feel the thresholds of what you're capable of doing and get your laser focus and get your high performance to be at its maximum.
That's what we're looking for. That's the end goal. And coming up with these ways to get to that end goal, that's what we need to be doing. Like any single little thing that you can do to get that is key. And one of the things that I love about coming at this from a holistic approach is that even when one fails just a little bit, or one is not, you know, we waver a little bit on one side, since we're attacking this from all sides, hopefully the others can stand up and pick up for that side that's like failing just a little bit, right? So, you know, as that parent of that athlete, you know what, even though they missed like those practices, because at least they slept, at least their nutrition is on point, at least I'm putting the right things in their body, and I know they're going to give me the effort. Even that right there is way better than them making every single practice, but having no sleep, having no nutrition, and then going out and competing.
I mean, mic drop. Let's repeat that one more time, because that is so important.
Yeah, the holistic approach and understanding that that sleep, that nutrition, that hydration days before, the mental, preparing your athlete mentally, just saying things like, that game on Saturday, I'm so excited about that. How have you been visualizing that? Like, talk to me, right? Those things are just as even more important than them making practice that week, right? Mm-hmm. And working on those skills. Because we see with the whole, you remember the whole Simone Biles example from a couple of years ago. She has all the skill, all the skill. She has all the practice and then can't compete. We see, you know, I see it, you know, in the NFL, I'm an Eagles fan. We had a quarterback 3 years ago who had all the skill, like skill-wise, he has all the ability, but mentally, you know, he came off an injury, someone else took his spot, the guy who took his spot won the Super Bowl and they celebrate him. And now he's like, oh, what about me? I'm good. Am I still good? And then you're coming off an injury, so you're not as quick as you before. And then you get into that negative mindset. Wait, am I still good? Mm-hmm. Am I the same person? Am I worthy to be here? You can have all the skill, nutrition, mindset, getting the hydration, the sleep, getting the nutrients in your body. Those things are just as important, even more important. And they are better off with that than, you know, going to all those skills and tournaments and practices and getting on that elite team. And they are better off doing those small little things. So my goal for the parents who are listening to this, and even the athletes who are listening to this, write down those three things when it comes to preparedness. Am I prepared in my skill? That's the number one. Yeah, like, you know, you could cross that off the list. That's easy to assess. Am I prepared in my body? Sometimes I'm telling these parents, wait, so they've been playing soccer for 4 years. They haven't done any formal training? No. Then you need to get on that. Because, you know, you could be as skilled as you want. If you tear your ACL, you're not on the field. Mm-hmm. You're not scoring goals. You're not getting recruited.
If you have those tight hamstrings, you're not recovering.
And then in the same way, I'm like, wait, you don't talk about nutrition at home?
We will have to come back at another time and talk all the things nutrition, but then also be skilled in your mind.
In your mind. And that's the one thing that, you know, in the past 2 years after creating this mental fitness program, in the same set sense, I'm like, parents, you're not helping your kids train their mind. And when I say things like mental fitness or mental strength or mental flexibility or mental endurance, these are some terms that parents have never heard before.
No.
And when you explain it, like, oh, mental flexibility is the ability to say, this is how I thought things were going to go. And now things are going in this way. And I can still be fortified in my mind to say, okay, I can adjust.
Yeah.
Mental endurance is to be able to be competitive in your mind early and still be competitive in your mind late, when your body's tired, when it's late, when you're down, right? It's easy to, oh, I'm down. We're down 3 goals. Like, no. Be competitive then. Do you have that competitive, that mental endurance? Do you have the mental fitness, which just ties everything in?
Yeah. Right? Do you have the mental fitness? And it's why you and I both love the supplements that we share, because it helps with your mental fitness. It helps with your mental edge. And when the game is not going right, you can have your holistic drink, your edge that's helping your mood, helping your motivation, and allowing you to stay on point, stay focused, and get it done. Coach Mike, this is a conversation is always amazing with you.
Yes, I love talking to you today.
I want, like, if you're listening and you have a topic that you would love to hear us chat about, go to danalewis.com and you can put in there any subject that you would like to see Coach Mike and I talk about. We would love to come back and address your questions. Mike, how can everyone find you?
Everyone can find me on resilienceperformancetraining.com or on Facebook, Coach Michael Atunrashe, or they can even go to Instagram and go to resilience_training_ and find, you know, our Instagram page. We also have a page specifically for athletes at resilience_sports_, so they can follow that as well. But yeah, I'd be happy if you reach out. If you want to learn more about our mental fitness program, which is called The Playbook, just hit us up, email us or hit us up on Facebook, Instagram. I would love to chat to you about it. This is something that is revolutionary. This is something that I'm actually talking to some college ADs about, my own college AD at the University of Delaware. So bringing mental fitness out to the forefront and making it a thing that is cool, a thing that is talked about, a thing that is practiced, so we can get the highest performance out of our athletes.
Yeah, because I mean, this show is all about faking fine, stopping to faking fine, right?
Yes.
So with your youth athletes, if you're not addressing your skill in your body and in your mind, you're faking it. Yeah. You're empowering your child to fake it because they're missing one of those pillars. So such an important conversation. Thank you so much for being here, Coach
Mike.
Thank
you for having me.
I cannot wait to chat with you next time.
Awesome.
Thanks you guys for tuning in and we'll see you next time. Remember to show up for yourself unapologetically, because while your circumstances may not be 100% your fault, your life is 100% your responsibility. I cannot wait to see you soar.